That you would fill pastor with your spirit, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, we are in Isaiah chapter number 3 this morning. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 10. It says here, "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him." Verse number 12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." And the title of the sermon this morning is "The Wickedness of Joe Biden." The wickedness of Joe Biden. Now, let me just start off by saying that this sermon isn't a right-wing propaganda type of a sermon that has the intent of motivating you to vote for Trump, okay? And the reason I have to make that disclaimer is because Independent Fundamental Baptists in times past have been very guilty of doing that. If you've ever visited an old IFB church, especially during the election period, they will often, you know, preach against the left, and they'll preach against Democrats and liberals, and they'll say, "Oh, I'm not trying to tell you who to vote for, you know, but it's pretty obvious who you shouldn't vote for, right?" And they don't even have the guts to say, "Yeah, vote Trump," or whatever, you know? Now, I just want to make myself very clear that I'm neither right-wing nor left-wing, okay? I'm actually on a different bird, to be quite honest with you, right? And the reality is, yes, you know, I was born here. Yes, I'm an American, but hold on a second. I desire a better country, according to the Bible, that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called our God, for he hath prepared for them a city, the Bible says. You know, I set my affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. And sometimes Christians have the tendency to just dig down their stakes so down deep into this country, into this land. Really, that determines a lot of their spiritual decisions in this life. You know, God wants us to seek those things which are above. He wants us to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He wants us to make sure that we make decisions based upon eternal consequences or eternal rewards, right? And the same goes with this. But with that being said, I believe it's important, folks, that when wicked people rule or they seek a position of authority, God's man should stand up and preach against them, amen? You know, we don't want to beat around the bush and make these, you know, ambiguous sermons and ambiguous statements and just don't call out the names and, you know, just don't say anything at all. You know, it should be that the church is the house of God, the pillar and ground of truth. And when things are going on in this world, events are taking place, things are in the news, things are trending in this world, you know, people should come to the house of God to see what God has to say about it. Now, with that being said, you know, it's biblical to preach against rulers. Very much biblical. You see that throughout the Bible. I mean, you see Moses going up against Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You see Jeremiah preaching against the kings of his day. You see John the Baptist preaching against Herod and his adultery. You see it over and over again in the Word of God. And you know what? Some people don't like that when you call out the President of the United States, or they don't like it when you call out any politician or governor or mayor. But folks, if they are involved in wickedness, if they are evil people, they should be called out because they're in positions of authority. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, verse number 2, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city." Verse number 4, "Therefore prophesy against them, prophesy, O son of man." You know, the Bible specifically telling, God is specifically telling Ezekiel, hey, because they're involved in wickedness and in mischief, therefore you should preach against them. Therefore, you should lift up your voice like a trumpet, open up the word of God, and tell God's people what God thinks about this man, okay? The Bible says in Ezekiel 29, verse 2, "Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt." Oh, you shouldn't preach against America. God could care less about your nationalism or your political views. He says if the nation is wicked, if the king is wicked, guess what? You should preach against them, okay? And open the eyes of the people to help them to understand how wicked these people are and what God thinks about them. Now, in light of that, let's talk about Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden, as we know him, is the former vice president under the Obama administration. He was a senator in Delaware from like the 70s all the way to 2009. And he's currently running for the president of the United States. Now, here's the interesting thing is like there's a lot of people who actually like this guy, unfortunately. And people have to be out of their minds to want to support such a wicked, foolish individual, right? You know, when you think of Joe Biden, That which comes to mind is basically this crazy, incoherent, babbling political figure. And in fact, he's an individual who would seem to basically have the mental capacity of a child. And you say, well, that's ad hominem. You're just mocking him. Folks, this is a fact. You can research it yourself. You can see the videos where he's giving his speeches and the things that he says. He sounds like as though he has the mental capacity of a small child. You say, well, what does that have to do with the sermon? Well, look down at your Bibles in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which cause thee to err and they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. Folks, this is it. This is it. Now, what is God teaching us here in Isaiah chapter 3? We'll get into Joe Biden in just a bit. But let's give the interpretation of Isaiah chapter 3. God is teaching us what the indicators are when the land is actually cursed. Okay? In other words, you know, when you look at a nation, how do you know if God's hand is on that nation or if God has completely released his hand and the curse is already present there? Well, there's a lot of indications to that. And actually, this is a sermon in and of itself, and this is not what I'm preaching on this morning. But think about this. You know, when sodomy is just rampant, has permeated society, and it's embraced by the majority, the land is cursed, folks. The land is cursed. You study any major society throughout history, any society that has embraced sodomy, has embraced pedophilia, which, by the way, is the same exact thing. That land is cursed. That land shall be destroyed. That society shall be destroyed. Why? Because they've embraced an abomination, and the Bible tells us that the land wants to throw it up, wants to spew it out of its mouth. That is an indication that the land has become cursed when they have just fully embraced sodomy. They promote it. They want people to accept it, embrace it, and even partake in it, right? But not only that, how about when there's the shedding of blood? A nation is cursed when there's a lot of shedding of blood. Let me be more specific. The shedding of innocent blood, such as abortion. And folks, America is responsible for a lot of abortions. Not just, by the way, not just innocent blood abortions here, but how about throughout the world, right? The killing of innocent people through war and all these other factors. So we see that a nation can be cursed because of its acceptance of sodomy. An indication that a nation is cursed is when they shed innocent blood. And here in this passage of scripture, by the way, another one is idolatry. It just came to mind. You think of a country such as India, for example. That nation's cursed. That nation is completely cursed. Why? Because they're filled with idolatry, folks. They worship the creature more than the creator. You have people dying of famine out there while there's, you know, a quarter pounder with cheese walking right next to them. Right? There's literally people dying of hunger because they're not willing to kill the cow because that represents their ancestors or whatever. Kill the cow. Amen. That's enough to feed a family for a while. I don't know. How long does a cow last for in your refrigerator? You know? But that can feed people for a long time. But yet you see that land being cursed. Why? Because they're filled with idolatry, pagan idolatry. And let me say this. The United States of America is becoming just like that. Well, you know, I don't see, like, you know, serpents and altars. Yeah, but don't we have people today called vegans who worship the creature more than the creator? Isn't this a fad diet that you see permeating society all the way up until, you know, all the way to Hollywood and political realms? Most people adhere to this diet called veganism. You know what the Bible says? That is a curse upon the land. Okay. But according to Isaiah chapter 3, another curse is that when women rule in the land, that's a curse. Folks, when you see a church, when you see churches led by a woman, according to the Bible, that's a curse. You know, he's like, well, how do you say that's a curse? Well, because there's a guy, listen, he's on the front row being fed spiritually by a lady. He's like, oh, are you against women? No, I married one. Obviously, I'm not against women. What I'm against is women taking on positions of authority, which God has said they should not. Becoming a pastor, not biblical. And it doesn't mean because they're inferior or they're worse. That's just not their place. You understand? Just as it is not in the place of a man to stay home and take care of the kids while his wife goes out to work. Right. That's not God's order, folks. Right. You understand? So what we see here is that this is a curse upon the land when women rule over a nation, a people, men, political realms, religious realms. God says this is a curse because that means there's not a man to stand in the gap. When men are not available to lead spiritually and do what God has called them to do, that shows that that land is completely cursed. You understand? But we see also, it says in verse 12, when children become the oppressors of a people. Now, there's actually two interpretations of this, and I'll be honest with you, I agree with both. Okay, but I'm going to tell you in just a bit what interpretation I have a tendency to lean towards. You know, this they often say, well, maybe this is literally referring to women ruling over men and children, literal children oppressing people. And this can be true. You know, you see this throughout history where women become, you know, the queen of a land and they become the ultimate authority. That land is in decline. It's spiritually in darkness. But how about children, right? You see sometimes children becoming monarchs at the age of 5, age of 10. You see this throughout history. But not only that, sometimes you see, for example, in Brazil years ago, where you would have bands of children oppressing people by robbing them, holding them at gunpoint, and they became almost like a nuisance in a sense because they were violating people throughout the streets, stealing from their stores, robbing them. That's a form of children oppressing a community, right? And it really shows that they're not under authority. You know, where are their parents? Where are their parents? They're not obeying their parents. They are in complete rebellion, and therefore we see that as a curse upon the land. But what I believe this is actually referring to is when male leadership take on these qualities, these characteristics. You know, I believe it's a curse when you have a male leader who basically acts like a woman. You understand? You know, an example of this is when you go to some liberal fun center, mega church, and you have a pastor. What is that? Am I imagining something? Is there music coming from? Wow, you guys are still playing. You know, when you have this mega church that has this pastor, but he's as effeminate as the day is long. The guy's a soy boy. He couldn't preach a hard sermon if his life counted on it. The Bible says that's a curse upon a church. But how about this? What about when children, when men act like children? You know, the biblical way or the biblical order of things is that when we become men, we put away childish things. We mature, we grow up, we get serious about the things of God. We get serious about life. We take on responsibility. We want to be a man. Amen? We speak as a man. But here it says that when a ruler who has a position of authority in the land acts like a child, that's a curse. You say, well, you know, what is that supposed to be? Well, give me an example of that. Joe Biden. Joe Biden has the mental acumen of a child. I mean, it doesn't take much to see that. And if you see that and you say, well, no, I think that's improper judgment, then you're just blind, you're deaf, you just don't want to see it. You listen to any of his speeches, the DNC that just came out, they said that was his best speech ever, okay? And they just want to completely ignore every other speech that he's ever gave, where he just sounds incoherent, he sounds like a babbling five-year-old who can't make sense out of anything, right? Well, the Bible says that is a curse. And let me just make myself very clear is that I believe the United States of America has already been cursed. It's already under the curse. I know those people that are just in complete denial of that, and they don't want to believe. They believe there's still hope for America. You're delusional, okay? If you see everything that's going around in our nation and all of the filth and the smut and the perversion, all the sodomy and abortion, and the fact that this guy is even, you know, on the ballot, the people are even considering him to be the president of the United States, and you're trying to, well, no, we're not cursed yet. Folks, the fact that they even consider him to be the president of the United States, the fact that there's even 5 people in this world who think, yeah, he would make a good president, it shows you our nation is cursed. And I know there's people out there that don't like to hear that. And I'll tell you why they don't like to hear that, because their hope is in America. Their hope is in a country, not in the Word of God and not in the Bible, not in God himself. You know, there's a lot of people today that are stressing out a lot. Let me just reword that. They're freaking out is what they're doing. This is, I mean, obviously 2020 has been one of the worst years ever. But as we near November 3rd, I mean, people are losing it. They're just losing it. They're afraid. They're freaking out. Why? Because their hope is not in the Bible. Folks, if you have your hope in the Bible, your hope in God, your hope in biblical things, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? They will. What are you going to do if Joe Biden becomes president of the United States? Now, look, I don't think he will. But 2020 has been so crazy with murder hornets and coronavirus. Anything is possible. You know, the old McDonald's slogan used to be, hey, it can happen. Okay? And you know what? 2020, those of you who are my age maybe know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are younger have no idea what I just said. It can happen, folks. It can happen. You know, the commercial used to be like the kid, he's like, you know, he imagines this crazy thing that he can have or something, and he would say, hey, it can happen. Well, you know, in 2020, that's definitely true. Okay? And, you know, I can be wrong, and he becomes the president of the United States, and you know what? Every Republican, Independent, Fundamental Baptist is going to lose their minds. They're like, we got to go, let's just go start a country in the ocean or something like that. But look, folks, that's why we don't have our hope set in this. Because our God is greater than this. You know, and if you think it's bad when Biden takes office, wait till the Antichrist comes. This is just like, you know, phase, you know, negative zero in comparison to the Antichrist. You know, and here's the thing. I think it would be a horrible thing for Joe Biden to ever become the president of the United States just because he's such a wicked individual. The guy is a horrible leader. He's a liar. He's a perjured person. He's just wicked. But if he did, you know what? Our church would grow. Our movement would grow. Why? Because then you have the Fox News Baptists who say, man, maybe those guys knew what they were talking about. You know, that kind of preaching now appeals to me. So I don't care either way, to be honest with you. Why? Because my affections are set on things above, not on things of this earth, okay? But let's talk about Joe Biden this morning. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And look, he's not even in office and people are mourning already. They are afraid, they're mourning, they're sad, and rightfully so. If they don't have their hope in the Bible. Proverbs 28:15 says, as a roaring lion is a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the people, over the poor people, the Bible says. Isaiah 10:1 says, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievousness which they have prescribed. So here's the thing is, look, folks, the reason I want to preach this sermon is just to wake people up. Not you. You're already awake, hopefully. You know, if you're offended by this, then you need a double dose of the Holy Ghost and of the Bible and of common sense and just a reality check, okay? I'm talking about people who are out there who think to themselves, well, I hate Trump, but I really don't like Biden, but I definitely like Biden more than Trump. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like either. But what I'm trying to wake them up to see is that, hey, did you know that Joe Biden is not your, you know, what's the guy's name? Mr. Rogers of the political realm. Because that's how people see him. When he gave his speech at the DNC, people were like, oh man, that was such a wholesome, that was his best speech ever. He just like was talking about him being the light and the left being the light and the right is the darkness and he's going to bring peace and all these things. And it just sounded so mushy and pillowy. And people buy into that stuff. And sometimes you wonder, like, what is this world coming to? When someone like him can run for office and succeed at winning people over. And this is one of the things he said. He said, look, if I become president of the United States, I have a solution for coronavirus. Now that, like, a group of people have already gotten it. And he's like, I got a solution. And he gives the same exact solution that Trump gives. He's like, you know, Trump did a horrible job. He did a terrible job and all these things. I'm going to bring it. And then you listen to his solution. It's exactly what Trump said. You know what? But there's people out there like, oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, thanks. Oh, man. Thank you so much for as if it's something new. It's a joke. That's why I said I'm not right-wing nor left-wing. I'm on a completely different bird. That bird is stupid. That's the dodo bird. It's about to go extinct. Let's get into why Joe Biden is wicked. And by the way, the Bible tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, folks, the solution is not in the White House. The solution for Christians has always been in the church house. Amen. You know, and look, we preach against wicked people like this, but you know whose fault it is for getting the land to where it's at? Christians. Pastors who didn't get up and preach the word of God and tell what the Bible says about certain things, they reared back, they went in the closet, they didn't want to say anything, they didn't shout it from the housetops, and now this is the mess that we have today. It's Christians' fault as a whole. And God says, look, if you're called by my name, it doesn't say if my people which are called by my name shall go out and vote on November 3rd. Right. Which a lot of independent fundamental Baptists will tell you over the next couple of months, your vote counts, your vote counts, your vote counts. No, folks, our position in Christ counts. Amen. Us getting right with God counts. That's what God is looking for. Not for you to exercise your religious liberties by going out and voting for the right or for the left. God says you need to turn from your wicked ways is what you need to do. You need to humble yourselves and pray and seek God's face. Stop playing games is what he's saying. You say, well, if you're not afraid of who's going to become president, why preach against Joe Biden? Because it's so easy. And I'm telling you what you already know. I'm reinforcing this in our church, okay? Number one, why is Joe Biden wicked? I'm going to spend most of my time on the first two points. I have like four. There's obviously a lot more reasons, but let me just state the obvious. The reason Joe Biden is wicked is because he's just a filthy pervert. The guy is a filthy, disgusting pervert. Right. Yep. Would you honor him if he came into your church? I'd throw him out. Right. The second someone brought him as a visitor, he'd get thrown out. Why? Because he's a filthy pervert. Right. Go to Jeremiah chapter 5. It's appalling to see how much content is out there of Biden, you know, touching little girls and handling them in a perverse manner, even to the point where he's like sniffing the hairs of women, married women and children. And that people would still consider him to be the president of the United States. Folks, we're in 2020 where there's cameras everywhere. There's photographs everywhere. There's social media. And literally there's dozens of photos of this guy behaving like a complete pervert, like a pedophile. And I guarantee you that guy's a pedophile. Make no mistake about that. The guy is a filthy, reprobate pervert who has no place in any position of authority. Right. Oh, I thought he was just like a nice guy. He's just old. He's getting up there in age. You know, he's just, you know, he's just like one of those uncles. Yeah, he is like one of those uncles. Yep. Those perverted uncles. People would just want to turn a blind eye to his filth and just act like, well, it just never happened. You know, he's becoming the president of the United States. But the guy is a complete animal, folks. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 7 says, how many of you have seen those pictures? Yeah. Where he's like holding the shoulders of a lady or a girl, and he's literally like sniffing their hair. While there's dozens of cameras around. No shame. Neither could he blush. Some adult ever does that in our church, we'll slingshot his rear end out of this church so fast. Why? Because people in our church have common sense, folks. It's not appropriate. It's disgusting. It's perverted. It's filth. Look at Jeremiah 5, 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. So what is God comparing these people to? Animals. Because it's like an animal, like a horse, who's already fed, Basically, he's already, you know, been with other horses and female horses, but yet even in the midst of that, they're still neighing after their neighbor's wife. Now, how does the Bible describe that in the New Testament? Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. That's what I see. Anytime I look at the picture of Joe Biden and he's like grabbing the shoulders of some young girl or some wife and he's just like sniffing their hair, he looks like a horse. Neighing after another man's wife or another man's child. And you're trying to tell me that this guy is qualified to lead as the president of the United States in this country? You're out of your mind. The guy's neighing after the wives of other people. And look, the people who are getting sniffed, they know it. You look at the expressions of the people, they're just like completely uncomfortable. And these are people who support him. That should like maybe this isn't the right guy. He's like sniffing my hair right now. Come on, folks. This is insanity. He's neighing after other people and children. He's a pervert. And look, this is often the agenda of those in high places. Keep that in mind. You know, it's amazing to me that there's independent fundamental Baptist churches that will have American Day, Patriot Day, and they'll literally bring in the mayor. They'll try to bring in the highest power. And it's like, do you understand that these are some of the most wicked people in the land? Politicians. I'm sure there's a good apple somewhere around there, but the good apple is the exception to the rule. The vast majority of them are wicked people who are filled with covetousness and adultery. They're sodomites. They're perverts. And Joe Biden is an example of that. And look, folks, if Joe Biden is doing that, how much more those who serve under him? Because Joe Biden is simply an expression, a representation of those whom he leads, right? If you go to a church and you see that the pastor is behaving wickedly, he is involved in adultery and filth and smut, just mark it down. His leaders are probably doing the same thing. Because everyone, you know, bears after their own fruit, right? Brings after their own kind. But this is often the agenda of those in high places. They seek a position in order to give themselves the opportunity to take advantage of others. And this guy behaves like a filthy pedophile. By the way, let me just read you this quote. Most people already know this quote, but just as a reminder, okay? He's given this speech. And this is what I do. When he gives a speech, I just look at the expressions of the people around him. Because, you know, he'll say something, they're just like, yeah, like, by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it gets hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hairs come back up again. And then he concludes his story by saying, I love kids jumping on my lap. Hello? First of all, you could barely understand this sentence. You just got to pull out the subject, the verbs and stuff, and just kind of make sense for it, for him. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Right. This is perverse. The Bible says the legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. A parable is a story. So whenever he tells a story and it doesn't sound equal, it doesn't sound like it makes sense, it's because it's coming out of the mouth of a fool, the Bible says. You know, you ever hear a person tell a story and it just does not make sense whatsoever? It's because it's a parable in the mouth of a fool, okay? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. So who are the people that actually support this guy? Unstable souls. People who don't have any common sense. People who can't reason, right? And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. And look, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Joe Biden is a reprobate. Amen. He's a reprobate. As Mark Barfield would say,
100%.
100%. Okay. I mean, you cannot deny that this is a fact. Okay. The reason Joe Biden is wicked is because he's a filthy pervert. He has no place in the house of God. He has no place on a political leadership position. And here's the thing, that's like an obvious thing, right? But yet you literally have thousands of people who think he should be the president of the United States. Folks, it's insanity, okay? Why is Joe Biden, by the way, one of the things he's pushing is like the abolishment of the death penalty. And you can understand why, right? He's like, we got to get rid of the death penalty. No, we need to bring back the death penalty is what we need to do. The death penalty is biblical, folks. If we do it God's way, wickedness would not be so rampant. Murderers would not be so rampant. These Antifa fools, these protesters who are just violating people and taking people's lives, you wouldn't be having that if you had the death penalty. There's enough evidence out there and cameras where you can capture these people, put them to death, and you know what? That violence would stop. Amen. The violence would cease if the death penalty was once again enacted, if people were put to death for their perversion. I guarantee you we have more righteous leaders. Right? I guarantee you Joe Biden wouldn't be sniffing anybody's head if the death penalty was enacted, right? But because, you know, oh, they just want to throw him into this hole for, you know, a life sentence or whatever, where they can just wax worse and worse. They just grow more evil. You know, it's nonsense. It's funny. They have the death. They don't want the death penalty for wicked people, but they do want the death penalty for the innocent, don't they not? Because the death penalty still exists, folks, for children. The death penalty still exists for unborn children, called abortion. What's the penalty? Oh, that they were born, that they exist. And they kill them like it's nothing. But when it comes to wicked people, perverts, murderers, and sodomites, and all these wicked people that deserve it, oh, no, they can go scot-free. Oh, he's a child molester? Oh, that's fine. You know, have him go to prison for a little bit and then come back out so he can rape and molest children again. They're calling evil good and good evil. It's backwards. Joe Biden is wicked because he's just a filthy pervert. Number two, this is obvious. And look, this is not ad hominem. He is a complete fool. That's number two. He's wicked because he's a complete fool. Go to Proverbs chapter 28. Excuse me, Proverbs 29. Joe Biden lacks the mental acumen to lead this country, folks. And he lacks understanding. And you know what the Bible says about that? Proverbs 28:16 says, the prince that wanteth, that word wanteth means lacks. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. What is he saying? Look, someone who just completely lacks understanding and knowledge and mental acumen to be able to lead, these people are going to oppress you. They're not intelligent. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have your best interest in mind. They're going to eventually oppress you and make your life a living hell. Okay? Look at Proverbs 29, verse 4. We're going to look at a lot of verses here in Proverbs 29, in the book of Proverbs. It says, the king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And look, also, when it comes to this whole Republican-Democrat thing, I'm not for both, but obviously, the right wing is far more appealing than the left, right? Wouldn't you agree with me on that? You know, obviously, we're not for them. Obviously, they have things that we don't like, and they do things that we don't like, and we're not in agreement with them. But here's the thing. At least it has feathers, right? The left wing is like rabies infested. It's lacking feathers. It just looks like it got plucked up by the roots. So what I'm saying is this should come as no surprise that we would preach against the Democrats or the left because of the fact that they're the worst of the two evils, right? Look at Proverbs 24, verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. So this is why Joe Biden is a sinful person. Because the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. It's almost entertaining to see Joe Biden talk. Isn't it? Like, I would only want to watch it just because it's entertaining. Now, why is that? Well, look what it says in Proverbs 12, 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Every time he gets up to talk, it's a proclamation of his own foolishness, folks. Go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 16 says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Go to Proverbs 14. So it tells us in Proverbs 12 that the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Proverbs 13 says that a fool layeth open his folly. Proverbs 14, verse 7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So we should separate as much as we possibly can from like a Joe Biden, right? Why, have we perceived that his lips have knowledge? No, in fact, we've perceived the exact opposite. The guy is wanting, the guy is lacking wisdom, he's lacking knowledge. And some say, well, he's just getting old, you know? He's just getting old, so he has like mumble speech and, you know, he just sounds like grandpa who's like telling a story or whatever. And he's just, you know, he's just getting old. Yeah, good stuff. I mean, the other stuff is just complete nonsense and foolishness. Useth knowledge aright, but the pours out foolishness. Foolishness comes out of his mouth. It is displayed. So the Bible says, go to Proverbs 15, or look at verse 28. Proverbs chapter 17. Throughout his entire campaign, he would actually do better if he just didn't say anything at all. Now, obviously, that's impossible, because as a politician, you have to talk. But guaranteed, he would do more for his career if he just kept his mouth shut. Let me prove it to you. Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. What is it saying? Look, even the most dumbest person, the idiot in the group, if he just doesn't say anything at all, people are like, oh, this guy has something to say. You ever meet people, they're like really quiet? They're like, yeah, you gotta watch out for this guy. He's an observer. Or, you know, he's one of those guys that's just he's just taking everything in. He's really smart. Why? He's esteemed a man of understanding because he shutteth his lips. Now there's literally people like that, right? Where they're very intelligent, they don't say anything, and they watch what they say, they just observe. And what we say is, wow, that person, you know, he's pretty smart. Joe Biden would do well to do this. Now, obviously, it's too late now. It's too late, right? But folks, even the Bible says, when a fool, when he holdeth his peace. And look, I know this is a sermon on Joe Biden, but look, this is good practical advice just for all of us just in general. Right? Especially you young guys. Where you want to just pour out your knowledge and just share your wisdom with the world and everything you know. Because you've been around the block so many times. You just have so much experience. You just have so much knowledge to pour out. You just want everyone to know what you have to say. Folks, if you want people to think that you're smart, the best thing to do is just keep your mouth shut. Yeah, but I want to share my wisdom. Well, share it if someone asks for it. Right? You should share the knowledge that you have and the wisdom that you have when you are asked for it. But here's the thing. When you share your wisdom and no one's asking for it, no one wants it. And you know what? Some youth are despised. Some arrogant. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. They act like a know-it-all. I don't want to hear it from them. You understand? So what's the best thing to do? Well, Proverbs 17, the latter end of Proverbs 17, 28, shut your lips. The equivalent to that, right? You're saying criticism and anguish if you just don't talk when you feel like talking. You understand? Be an observer. I think that's good. When you have young men who just observe, they pay attention, they learn, they're willing to just get wisdom from others, that's a wise young man. You understand? But even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Go to Proverbs 19, Proverbs chapter 19. Listen to this. By the way, let's read this through the lens of Joe Biden, right? Verse 1 says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So what do we see with Joe Biden? He's both perverse and in his lips, and he's a fool. Okay? Go to Proverbs chapter, or go to verse, look at verse 3 of Proverbs 19. The foolishness of a man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Go to Proverbs 22, Proverbs chapter 22. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs 29, verse 11. It says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Now remember what we said at the beginning of the sermon. One of the reasons why he's wicked is because he's a grown man who's acting like a child. And we see that throughout his career, he's basically behaved like a fool. He acts like an idiot. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Folks, he is a child, and the proof of that is that foolishness is bound in his heart. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. Joe Biden is wicked because he's wicked because he's a filthy pervert. He's a complete fool, and he's just a total liar. He is a total liar, which, by the way, most politicians are. He's perjured himself on many occasions. The Bible says, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. Let me read this from this article. It says, he got caught plagiarizing in law school and admitted to it. He failed but was allowed to retake the class. Biden ultimately had to drop out of the 1988 race after it became clear that this didn't stop in law school, as he stole excerpts of speeches from John F. Kennedy and other famous politicians. So he can't even come up with his own speeches. He literally just completely copies verbatim speeches of others and just says those. He's done that multiple times, okay? And there's even videos of him talking about his credentials and all the degrees that he has, and they find out it's not true, and he's just like, oh yeah, I just had a lapse of memory. I guess I didn't graduate and have all these degrees and stuff like that. No, it's not called a lapse of memory. It's called you're a liar. Right? It's like, oh yeah, I forgot. I didn't get those degrees. No, it means you got caught, and it means that you're just a liar. And this is who people want. And look, folks, think about this. Let's say he becomes president. He's going to do the same thing when he becomes president over all the promises that he's made. Yeah. Like, well, what about these promises you say? He's like, oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's not really what I meant. He's going to treat it like his so-called degrees, right? Like, oh, I said that. Yeah, I didn't mean that. I meant actually something else, okay? Proverbs 16:12 says, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right, the Bible says. 1 Timothy 1, verse 10 talks about who the law is made for, and it says, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, here's my last point, and I don't really have a verse for this, but this is pretty obvious right here. The reason he's wicked is because he's just a major racist, which I find to be very ironic. The fact that he's a Democrat, and he's just this complete racist, and yet you have a people like BLM supporting this guy, wanting him to be the president, and they're some of the, you know, they're over here where their movement is supposed to be about race. They're angry over the fact that they think that black people are being persecuted. Hello? The guy that you want to be the president of the United States is more of a racist towards black people than they are. He opposed school integration in the 1970s. When speaking of President Barack Obama, former President Barack Obama, he said, I mean, you got the first mainstream African-American who's articulate. I'm not done. When they asked about him, he says this, right? How many of you heard this quote? Okay. You got the first mainstream African American who's articulate and bright and clean and nice looking guy. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what is he insinuating? He's insinuating that every other African American that he's ever run into is not articulate. They're not bright, and they're not clean. That's what he's saying, okay? He went on The Daily Show and apologized for using the word clean, saying he should have opted for the word fresh. It's a complete joke. And I'm going to be misquoting this one. Maybe some of you can help me on this one. He's talking about poor kids, right? And how poor kids, you know, can be just as smart and bright as white kids. Did I say that right? You know what I'm talking about, Jesse, right? Right? He's like, they can be just as smart and bright as white kids. And he what did he say instead of white? He tried to correct himself. Does anybody know? It didn't help anyways, right? The guy is a major racist. And look, folks, our church is not racist at all, as you can plainly see here. Okay? And look, you have people in our church who have differing opinions on this subject here. You're like, are you saying you got racists in your church? Well, obviously they're not that racist. I mean, look who their pastor is. Right? But here's the thing, folks. This is just blatant right here. This is just hypocrisy is what it is. Total hypocrite. And the fact that you have Antifa, BLM, and that Democratic left who are for this guy is a complete joke. Obviously, they're not applying the same standards to their guy. Now, here's the conclusion of the matter. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Because you think to yourself, like, what can I get out of this sermon, Pastor Mejia? We had some good laughs. We shared some good memories. You know, we went down the trail of Joe Biden's foolishness and nonsense. What can I glean from this sermon? Well, here's what you can glean from this sermon. Because here's the thing. He might become president. It's a possibility. Remember what I said in the beginning? It can happen. He might become president. It's a possibility. Now, I don't think it will happen, but who knows? Come November 4th, 5th, or whatever, you know, I can be saying, well, I guess Joe Biden is the president of the United States. And here's my admonition to you, is not to put your trust in Egypt. Right? Right? Don't freak out. Don't move to an island. Don't, you know, everything's going to be okay. Look at verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 30. By the way, this is straight from God's mouth, okay? This is what he says. And just keep in mind that Egypt was a super powerhouse at that time, right? The political powerhouse of that time. And he says this, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." He says, look, you're going to Fox News. You're going to all these YouTube channels with all these political views. You're going to Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. You're taking counsel of others, but not of me. And that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You know, a lot of Christians are hoping, oh man, I hope that Trump stays president. Please. And once he becomes president, it's just like, oh, another 4 years. We're good to go, you know? And God says, hey, are you trying to take a covering that's not of me? Are you trying to console yourself with someone that's not me? Not of my spirit? That you may add sin to sin? Verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked of my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt, he says. God gets mad when we put our trust in politicians, presidents, mayors, and governors. Because that's not who we should be trusting in. I don't trust in Newsom. The guy is a wicked, reprobate individual. That guy could go jump in the lake of fire for all I care. Our LA mayor is an idiot too. Most of these people are. That's not who my church. Aren't you afraid that they're going to come do something to you? If God be for us, who could be against us? Amen. Yeah, but you're in California, though. This is Commifornia. Folks, as goes California, so goes the rest of the nation. Right? I mean, people, look, California gets a bad rap, does it not? You know, people, when people think, when anytime I travel, people think that the California is just like, just oozing with sodomites. They're like, don't you have all those homosexuals over there? I literally, and I'm being honest with you, I have not seen a sodomite in, I don't know, over a month, 2 months. Where I'm at, I never see them. Never. And they think like West Hollywood is like right here, like across the street. Obviously, West Hollywood is filled with sodomites, folks. But it's not across the street. Do you understand how big Los Angeles is? It's massive. You can literally enjoy Los Angeles without ever going to West Hollywood. Is that where they're at? West Hollywood, right? Yeah. You can enjoy Los Angeles without ever having to go there. Well, isn't like Los Angeles filled with bums and all these transients? Like downtown LA. Yeah. I like never go to downtown. Why would I ever want to go to downtown LA? There's better places to go to. And they think that California is just this dump hole. But look, folks, I even read an article this week about a guy who's running for senator over in, I think, Georgia, or one of those red states. The guy's a pastor who's running for this political position who is promoting abortion. He's like, I want to fight for abortion. And I think that's a Christian thing to do. And I posted, I'm just like, you guys think California is crazy? At least the wicked people, individuals here, I mean, they're wolves in wolves' clothing. Right? What I'm saying is, and by the way, California is wicked, obviously. Duh. You think God's burning California? Obviously, he burns it every year. He burns California every year. Now, I'm like, we're like never affected by that, as far as I know. And even if we were affected, it's not because God hates us or is judging us. It's because we live in California. But you think those fires are bad? Wait till Babylon is just completely destroyed. At that point, you're not going to be talking about California. The entire nation is going to be destroyed at that point. Okay? These are just the precursors to that destruction that's coming. You say, well, why don't you just leave California? I'll tell you why, because my hope's not in Egypt. Amen. That's why. Because I'm a sojourner here. That's why. I'm a pilgrim here. That's why. And you know what? I'm in the place where there's just a lot of people to reach. Amen. That's why I'm here. I'm here because the soul winning is awesome. I'm here because I love my church. Amen. I'm here because I love the people here. This is where I grew up. And you know what? If people think that California is one of the most wicked places ever, well, you know what? Time to shine bright then. Amen. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And you know what? I'm a soldier for God, and I want to be in the hottest part of the battle. Amen. That's where I want to be. I'm not going to put my trust in Egypt. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 36. I said that was the last verse, but this is actually the last verse. Look at Isaiah 36, verse 6. It says, lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. That's why I never sign, oh, let's just kick Newsom out of office. Sign this petition. No. You know what? California deserves the governor that they have. So no. And you think my little signature is going to do anything about that? For me to put a signature on a little petition to try to run off Governor Newsom is to show that I do trust in the system. I don't trust the system. I trust the system. I trust God's word. You know? And look, folks, I'm definitely into politics. I love politics in the millennial reign. When the government shall be upon his shoulders. When Jesus is king. And I'm looking to be a mayor in that, or a governor in that millennial reign. Absolutely. But until then, you know, preach against these wicked people. Expose their nonsense and their filth and their perversion. And let God sort them out. Aren't you afraid they're going to come after you? What's the worst they can do to me? Take my life? That's still the best. So here's the message. The message is this, is that don't put your trust in Egypt. Don't worry. Stop fretting. Turn off the news. Turn on the Bible. Get into God's word. And look, I would even encourage you, don't listen to the news for the next couple of months. I know that some of you will go like into like cardiac arrest if that happens. But it would be really good for you though. If you get in the word of God, you have no idea what's going on. Because at the end of the day, we're Christians and we're protected by God. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And thank you for the admonishments that you give us in your word, Lord. Some people think this is negative preaching, and it is negative preaching because a lot of negative stuff going on. But this negativity doesn't affect our spirit, our attitude. After church right now, we're going to have a good time fellowshipping, winning souls, just going about our business, serving you. And Lord, may you place a hedge of protection about us. Help us to continue to serve you, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Help us to shine as lights here in this corrupt world. I'm thankful that Los Angeles is not reprobate because there's tons of people who still want to hear the gospel, who are still getting saved. I mean, we're seeing a lot of people saved still, and I'm thankful for that. I pray you protect us and keep us in the hottest part of the battle. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.